Welcome back to Deep Thoughts. Today we're going to talk about surveillance. And I've talked about surveillance kind of in a roundabout way in previous episodes, but today I want to talk about it very, very specifically because I think it's a lot more subtle than we think about it. Because surveillance is technically speaking when the governments of the world admit to you they are watching you. Surveillance is when a corporation admits that it's watching you. Admits, hey, we're taking in data, we're recording it forever, and if you're in it, you're in it. If you're not, you're not. But that's the definition for a layman. That is not the definition of what's really going on, right? What's going on is that anything and everything that's ever recorded and transmitted over the internet is being saved forever, or at least for a very long time, or until we take back the world and erase it. But because there is a large group of people that don't pay attention to the wider, broader definition of what I'm talking about, the rest of us are being surveyed at levels that we do not approve. But some of us are not aware that we're being surveyed. Then, to get right to the point, surveillance is glued to whatever national flag that you have running over your country, flying over your country. So they will take your patriotism and sew it to your surveillance and say that if at any point you question their surveillance of you, which violates usually every Magna Carta-based country and especially the Constitution-based country, then you're no longer a patriot. Because what you're telling your government is you don't trust them. What you're telling a corporation is you don't trust them. But if you get arrested in America, the way they read your rights is to say anything you say can and will be used against you. Never to defend you, right? So they admit right to your face. Anything that you do in front of them is going to cause you grief, which is why all of the retired police officers and good defense attorneys say, shut up and don't say anything, because all you're going to do is make my job more difficult. Don't resist arrest or cause yourself any problems on that level, but just comply, go to wherever you're going, get booked, and start with your legal representation. But because surveillance has been attached for some to patriotism, the rest of the surveillance is completely untracked in their mind. Now, today's televisions are coming out with cameras in the base of them, with this promise that at some point there's going to be a future set of features that you actually want, right? Gaming consoles are like the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox, all come with camera units that ship with them. Some of them won't turn on and execute any games unless they're online. We have already seen videotapes of people masturbating on their sofas without them knowing it. And some of you guys are going to try to look that up. And you're going to see a guy filling up his wife on the sofa when she was asleep. I'm sure that was consensual, however that happened. But people are being recorded and they don't know it. For any of you who paid attention to the body scanners at the TSA, the body scanners scan the human body, put it in a proprietary local computer, store it, and ship it over the internet to be stored in some gigantic database, because that's the goal of this whole thing. So, if you're a person who is trying to conceal your nudity, there's no concealing it. If you're part of religions that are especially Arab-based, where you're not supposed to have your photograph taken, well, not only is your photograph taken, but every nook and cranny of your body is being scanned and sent in 3D format to another computer. It's so thorough that they can reconstruct your body three-dimensionally after it's been hit by one of those scanners. There are products now that are being sold under health regimens, right? There's bracelets, shoes, all kinds of devices, the watches that are out there now, and they feel your pulse, your blood pressure, your heart rate, right, which is your pulse, and a bunch of other vital information, where you are physically in the world, GPS-wise. And that's a cool thing. That's something that they're trying to do, the consumer. They're super happy to give away all of their information. Because right now, it's in its infantile stage, and they don't understand the ramifications of what they're doing. Cell phones. Well, in the late 90s, there was the director Aaron Russo, who directed a fabulous movie called Freedom to Fascism, which you all need to see. He had made friends when he ran for politics in, I think, Arizona. He was running for governor. I don't know if he made it or not. I think he did. But he was approached by Nick Rockefeller, as per his own admission, and he said that Nick was telling him that 9/11 was coming, but one of their goals was to microchip every human being on planet Earth, which people laugh at, but it's still in the news constantly. Now, what they typically do is put a chip in the web of your hand between your forefinger and your thumb. In all cases that I know of, the cancer in that area of your body immediately metastasizes because you're talking about electromagnetism destroying the mitochondria in your cell, which corrupts your DNA and your protein patterns and gives you cancer. But cell phones were a beautiful substitute until the time when millennials or millennial children buy into the chipping of their bodies. And hopefully the tech can get to a point where it doesn't give you cancer, right? But what would be their goal of chipping you? Well, they want to know all your vitals, and they want to know where you are physically in the world, and they want to know your identity. Well, if you wear an Apple Watch, you're chipped. It's not subdermal. It's not inside your epidermis, but you are wearing a device that tracks who you are physically due to your cell plan. You are tracking where you are GPS-wise, and the Apple Watch is tracking all of the vitals possible. Right? I'm going to suggest that it's also giving you cancer. I don't think there's any way, you know, you're supposed to keep a cell phone 3/4 of an inch away from your flesh at all times, either an Android or an Apple or a BlackBerry. You're all supposed to keep it nearly an inch away from your face, your body. So a watch right next to your flesh running that much power is definitely, with a wireless transmission device inside, is definitely corrupting your cells. You know, I think it's something like 250,000 cells die per second in your body, something like that. With that watch on, you can probably add another 100,000 to 200,000 per second. And it's sort of a really bad version, and it's on your wrist. There's a lot of medical procedures that stem from cleansing your blood at the wrist, because obviously people slash their wrists and it kills them because that's where all of your blood in your body goes, you know, zooming through your arteries, right? So the last place you want to corrupt is there. People who wear magnetic bracelets. I have a magnetic bracelet as well. We wear it there because it actually cleanses the magnetic poles of soft magnets, actually kills bacteria in your bloodstream, leaving your immune system to kill much larger invaders like cancer and maybe viruses, right? I really believe that stuff works. Just do the physics on it. Don't worry about the hippie claim of it all. But now think about the formation of at least the United States of America. It was based off of the monarchs going crazy in Europe. The bankers going crazy in Europe. The Catholic Church going crazy in Europe. That's really why the United States of America was formed. Freedom of religion away from the Vatican tax collection system. Freedom from Ponzi scheme money out of the bankers. Freedom from home invasion and surveillance from the monarchs. Those are your real three linchpins. In America, we're only taught about the freedom of religion. Well, geez, Europe wanted you to be so Catholic and whatever, you know, Christian-based. It was crazy. So unless you're just in some small sect that, again, didn't want to give your taxes to Rome, which is what that whole organization is all about. But the Constitution of the United States and the 10 Bill of Rights is commonly overlooked. Now, if you're a young kid, you're obviously not even, you're not even remotely interested in that information anyway. I say Bill of Rights, you're like, oh my God, this is one of those social study classes. This is the Bill singing on the steps of the Capitol building. I want you to pull back from that Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning cartoon crap in your brain and listen up. The Bill of Rights in the United States of America is based off of everything that the people who want to control you. Remember, the slogan of this show is learn the rules that rule you, or at least the slogan of MKUltra Radio. They wrote down a list of 10 things that will stop the ruling class from ruling us. And now you have currently a Democratic Party. You know, the Republican Party went first with George W. Bush Jr., and now Barack Obama in the United States, and they've been trying to destroy completely the Bill of Rights. Now, Bush did a great job. Bush killed almost all of them. Boston bombing got rid of the last one, which is the Third Amendment, which is to basically not have to harbor soldiers in your house, right? But they're trying to get rid of the Second Amendment, which is going to get rid of the First. The First is already struggling to exist, right? They're trying to pass laws to come and get people like me who want to tell you that global warming by via science is not real, right? But the 10 Bill of Rights were the way that the people, the smartest people, yes, probably from the Scottish Masons, they knew it was the counter document that if we signed up to rule our country by these things, obviously no one could touch us. But the Fourth Amendment is eavesdropping, which is surveillance. There was something under George Herbert Walker, or George Bush's watch called the Military Commissions Act, which you'll hear me talk about quite a bit. The Military Commissions Act was essentially the contractual mandate from the intelligence agencies of this country to the communications companies, the private for-profit companies. So the government forcing corporations to violate the Constitution of the United States and the Fourth Amendment to eavesdrop on all of us under the guise of a bullshit construct called terrorism, right? Al-Qaeda's fake. Now it's you know, it was originally fake, and then, of course, people joined the group, but it's essentially a fake organization to justify wars in the Middle East. Now it's ISIS. You better believe the next one's coming. There's a whole other acronym that they are boiling up in the military-industrial complex. They are paying public relations firms, military firms, to drum up a brand new construct. You just wait for it. Within 2 years, it won't be ISIS. It'll be somebody else. Unless we perhaps get a president who pulls the trigger on bullshit, right? But you know that every single time you make a phone call, send an email, look up a webpage, send anything over the internet or communicate over any communication device on planet Earth, be it a satellite, be it a landline, anything that's transmitted wirelessly that they can tap into, it is stored into a massive computer in the Seattle, Oregon area, Washington, Oregon area, I should say, inside gigantic computers that then parse that data. In case, if you think you've got an encrypted telephone or encrypted internet signal, trust me, they walk right over that like it's like it doesn't exist. That's how amazingly efficient this thing is, right? So our government, under George Bush, mandated surveillance in the name of 9/11. The Patriot Act, which was written before 9/11. Think about that. I think it's like a 9,000-page document at minimum. It's actually 1,200 pages, but then it refers out to other documents. Maybe it's 9 and 1,200, gets to about 11 grand. It was pre-written before 9/11, ready the next day, because 9/11 was an inside job, just like the Arabs said, to justify all this stuff. And who knows if it's for a good reason or a bad reason? Who knows if 3,000 people really died or didn't die? I've got friends that say that their buddies are dead. So some people were killed to justify this whole thing. But I told some of my family members who are Democrats, who were really for Obama, and I said, okay, here's the deal. You say your guy's a leftist, right? I'm saying they're both on the same team. But you're a baby boomer and you can't accept that. So I said, if Barack Obama doesn't repeal the Military Commissions Act, which forces surveillance, which breaks the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, which none of the press seems to be covering, right? If he recertifies that thing instead of letting it sunset, obviously since terrorism has calmed down in the world, right? Why do we have to keep all this crap? Oh, it's because of the surveillance that has calmed down. Sure, sure. I said, well, you believe me, but this thing is one big cabal. And he looked me in the face, one of my relatives, and he goes, yes, believe me. Barack Obama signed that Military Commissions Act up because he's just a puppet, right? He doesn't make any decisions. He's never made any decisions since he's been there. I don't think George Bush did either. But he still sort of quaffs in his superiority that it's all a different group. The Democrats are different than the Republicans, da-da-da. Same exact group. No one's defending the Constitution of the United States. And yet when you want to become a police officer in this country, you have to swear to uphold the Constitution. But somehow there's doublespeak to a point where we don't. Our military, they put their life on the line just like police officers. They go off to war. Their whole thing is to protect the Constitution. They've been sold a bill of goods that going 8,000 miles away and killing people who barely discovered the wheel, if we kill those people, then we're making it safer for home. Meanwhile, we got open borders and TSA at the same time. Seriously. If you're not for the border, then you're not for the troops, right? Because you can walk right across that border. You mean to tell me your average Texan can tell the difference between an Arab and a Mexican? Ha ha. So if we were really afraid of other factions, we don't have our game straight. We don't have the basic program to protect ourselves. I'm of the opinion we can get rid of the TSA and probably keep the borders open at the same time. Stop the wars in the Middle East. Stop pissing off whole countries, whole regions, just so that bankers can keep control of us. Because that's what it's all about, right? Surveillance is about control. It's not about protection. It's about control. If you're a mall cop and you're looking at surveillance screens, perhaps you're about protecting. You're protecting perhaps, your local supermarket from being broken into and having items stolen, which is going to cost the company money, which is going to, make your pay not go up as fast as it should, make the products inside the store go up because they have to cover that shortage, right? But London, I guess, at this point, probably has damn near 10 million cameras all over the city. They're charging your car the second it goes in. It reads your license plates and it bills you for being in London Common, Now, I know what you're saying. Some of you are saying, well, man, some of that stuff's great, right? We catch murderers. We catch, thieves. It's good to look at the 405 in LA to see if it's busy. So some of these cameras really, really help out. In fact, there's been kidnappers that have been caught grabbing girls' hands and running off with them, right? Unfortunately, sometimes we don't catch them in time, but there's people who film the insides of their houses and have caught burglars in HD cameras. Stealing everything, eating their food and stuff. I want to make a distinction. You filming the inside of your house is a great idea. I have two cameras that film my house. That's my choice to survey myself. If you're a business and you want to just protect your company, that's different. But here is the difference. You can create a closed network on your surveillance device such that the information is either broadcast to a local recording device that's in a safe house, or you should be able to broadcast it over the internet securely to store it on some server. Just in case someone says, I'm going to cut the power to your house and da-da-da. That's the way mine's set up. But what if I do choose to push those frames of animation, those frames of movement over the internet to a storage facility? I should not have to ever think about my government grabbing a copy of that, which is illegal. It's constitutionally illegal. That's why when we have a president, when I say this, I don't really mean our president actually does anything, right? If I disrespect Barack Obama, it's only because he's willing to go along with it. But if he wasn't there, someone else would do it, right? We have to go at the systemic way that the world's run to get rid of these puppets at the top. But if we don't protect the Constitution as a mandate of the roles that we play in government, then we're kidding ourselves, right? Like I said in a few episodes back, I think it's interesting that we have absolutely unequivocally, through fiction and just historical recall, proven how acidic monarchs are, monarchies, that they never benefited the people beyond the maybe the first inceptional few decades, right? And yet they still exist on planet Earth. And how do they exist on planet Earth? Just to take a little digression here for a split second. Well, they initially call themselves these rules. I am king, I am queen, I am prince, I am princess. That's what they call themselves, dukes, earls, whatever. Now again, if you had that title, you have a choice to make. Keep it to make yourself feel special, or renounce it because you believe in humanity. Now, of course, humanity doesn't help because humanity is getting less educated and more barbaric by the second, it would seem, right? So these people are like, wow, if we don't hang on to these titles, then there'll be no, the finest hour of man will disappear, which is us, right? That's sort of how they view themselves. But then you have people who revel in other people's intelligence, which is, there's no problem with them. You know, you might like a smart person. But we don't encourage people to be smart themselves, right? It's more cool and easier, I should say, to worship Neil deGrasse Tyson if you think he really has the drop on science with a capital S, which is what we call pop science. Then you don't have to study, right? You can watch a hockey game, a baseball game. You can watch nothing. You can stare at the wall because Neil deGrasse Tyson's got it all locked down. Well, good people are taking care of all that big complicated stuff. Instead of the way I think it used to be, where you were at least supposed to pick something like physics, which is Neil deGrasse Tyson's, one of his disciplines that he's really, you know, informed on, right? The people prop up these monarchs because they want to be next to someone who's special. But who are the monarchs today? The monarchs today are anyone, or any group of people, I should say, that can get in front of a camera. If you can get in front of a camera, be a politician, get in front of a camera and act, get in front of the camera and do anything, you're all of a sudden amazing. If your face gets recorded, broadcast over a mechanism and comes through the television, you're all of a sudden amazing. How many times have you been on Facebook or in the last 30 years before Facebook? Someone in the town gets on television for some reason. Could be a horrific hurricane. Could be a tornado that went through your town. You're actually sitting next to a disaster. Someone gets murdered and you're next door. And you get on television. Used to be the newspaper. And I've been in this situation. I've been on the front page of my newspaper probably 3 times in my hometown. And it was always like, ooh, look at me, I'm famous. But all of a sudden, we're amazing simply because our image came through a device. This is what Marshall McLuhan was talking about in part in the late 60s, saying that the medium by which information comes to you is more important than the information itself, right? If you get on television in your hometown, you know, shit, if you're from a little tiny country town, it goes all over Facebook. Oh my God, we got on TV. Oh my God, Marge, look at that. And no one even cares what you say. It's just that your face got transmitted. And so we do these weird celebrity worship moments for anything that gets on television or on silver screen or whatever, when it's really the content of what you're saying that might make any difference in the opinion. Like, I'm on YouTube, obviously, not a big deal. Everyone can film themselves. You can film yourself live in your backyard if you want to, right? But it would be if I said anything profound that really should matter, right? Some episodes I make, I think, are trash. You know, I watch them like whatever. And other episodes, I think, oh, I really was in my zone at that point in time, right? The reason why I think that digression has value is that it's essentially calling out to the authoritarian superstructure of society that allows surveillance to occur, right? We have allowed a government made of us, made of us people, right? We're whom are supposed to be equal. And we allow ourselves to say, well, they need to look at us. Now, again, we might say in a public place, it's a public place. As soon as you walk out in public, perhaps you should be surveyed. Or you can be surveyed, right? Yet that's a debate. That's a huge debate, right? I think the big question is, where does it get stored and how long does it get stored? And who can use it? Who can use surveillance data? You can't give up any level of freedom to gain more freedom. That doesn't work. For those of you who live in high crime areas, I understand the idea of saying, well, if we can videotape this really high crime area of our town, then we potentially can cut down on the crime itself. And there's definitely truth to that, right? So perhaps, I'm gonna give you a hypothetical here, right? Perhaps we draw a line right there. We say public place. I mean, you know, it's hard to say that your neighborhood is a public place, right? But, you know, I run surveillance on my house and in a couple different manners. And I've had my neighbors have their houses broken into, their cars broken into, and they immediately come to me for the footage. And they're very happy that the footage exists of people walking around, that we can kind of deduce what time of day maybe someone made an approach, what they look like. Now, in our particular case, in my neighborhood, one of the neighbors caught the kids doing it physically. But it's the surveillance that's going into our digital devices. It's the surveillance of everything that we do in our computers. And public place is actually being redefined a little bit. The internet, by the intelligence agencies, has been determined a public place. Now, there's another line that they draw, which is to say, if I am Google, just using them as an example, because they are the de facto search engine for the world, they're a private-for-profit company. A private-for-profit company is just sort of like the donut store down the street. They do not have to serve you donuts if they don't want to. And Google doesn't have to serve anyone if they don't want to. And YouTube's Google as well, right? They don't have to serve my videos. They allow it. And so if I use their service, they in turn have the right to know, according to the law, who the hell I am. Every person touching a web server has an IP address. That IP address can be reverse engineered to find out what giant carrier owns that IP allocation, which in my neighborhood is either Verizon or Time Warner. And then there's usually a geographical triangulation that they can do on it to figure out generally what area it is. Now, I think most of my traffic out of Orange County bounces out of a hub in LA, so I think the first trace back goes to Los Angeles, so you wouldn't be able to tell it comes from Orange County. So in that particular case, it's sort of fair game. You're using someone's service. If you came into a business, they could say, well, we don't do business with anyone. We don't sell cakes. We don't do dry cleaning with you until you identify yourself. And we prefer or mandate that you show a state identity, state-issued IDs, like a driver's license or something, for you to do business with us. And if that's just too much for you, then that's fine. You can leave and go use someone else. Okay. Seems like fair game, right? But again, that becomes the sovereign property of that company. So Google has perhaps your data. I know they do. They've got every single thing you've ever done based on your IP address. And whether or not you want to know what your history is, they know what your history is. Whether or not you delete your history, they keep your history. Because they have to. The Military Commissions Act says they have to keep it. And it's still a little blurry how many years they have to keep it, but they keep it. I think they keep it for enough time that the NSA comes and harvests it, and they keep it forever. I'm sure they compress the living crap out of the data, and I'm sure they don't look at the data until they have a reason to look at the data. Why look at all the data in the world, right? So as an individual company, that's sort of how the public internet works. You're using a public backbone. You're bouncing through a lot of routers that are either available for free or routers that are being leased by big companies to make the connection. Well, once you start using someone else's sovereign property, that right to know who you are becomes their prerogative. But again, them sharing your information with other folks, well, it just depends. There's no laws that says that Google can't share your information with everyone. And I'll give you an interesting scenario I gave some friends of mine several years ago. When it comes to Facebook, there's a lot of people who are using Facebook to have communications with people that if their closest loved ones knew, they'd be divorced, they'd be broken up, they'd be in trouble. Little kids would be in trouble with their parents. Parents would be in trouble with other parents, right? But it's all kept private. You can't just log into someone else's account and look at their chat history. Now, let me give you a scenario that will blow your mind, and it's very, very simple. And if you think it's impossible to occur, you haven't thought very long and very deep into the subject. But imagine this. There is a one-day security flaw with Facebook. One day. A 24-hour period. You can log into anyone's account for free because the password authentication system breaks. And now all of a sudden, every account is wide open. You can go into your ex-girlfriend's account, your husband's account, your wife's account, your kid's account. Their chat history is right there in your face. So the mistress, the dude, well, I don't know what you call dudes that are, what do you call a dude that's a mistress? A manstress? I don't know. Your kid who's 13 years old who's having sending nudie pics to a 21-year-old or a 45-year-old, right? These child porn people are all over, you know, just it's, you can log into the CEO of a major film company and read all of his stuff. Imagine that happening for 24 hours because you put your trust in a private company. Now, again, it's not a high likelihood that that would ever occur, but imagine the world turn inside out and visually exposed like that. It's a private company. You couldn't do anything to stop it. It would be as if your entire life turned into a giant digital banner. The whole world can drive by. Now, I did an episode called How They Spy on You, which is really the genetics of how this entire thing occurs. So if you really want to know the technical breakdown of how they could and can and do, go watch that episode. I'll try to hot link it here somewhere. But this conversation is about the mental attitudes that we have towards surveillance, right? Now, in the late 90s, someone created an ingenious video on the internet, and a bunch of you have seen it. But it's about a world where everyone's chipped. There's a world that has national health care on crack. And it has a situation where someone is calling to order a pizza. And the person on the other side knows everything about you because it's all public. And it's an amazing dialogue between two people, and it's dramatized while the dialogue's going on. It's dramatized with dialogues inside a piece of software. And essentially what happens is the person ordering the pizza has so many credits, but the person ordering the pizza is, technically speaking, too overweight to buy a pizza. It's unhealthy for them because they're overweight, which means they're burdening the national healthcare system more than others, let's just say. So the person on the phone says, you know, I'm not allowed to sell this to you without a surcharge. Something like that, I think. And so the way the scenario goes is they end up having to pay a tremendous amount of credits to get this pizza sent to their house, because what they're doing is they're depositing a tax into the pizza outfit that's going to be passed on to the government to pay for their obese bodies or whatever, their diabetes or whatever sort of medical regimen's going to need to manage this overweight person. And the gist of the video was essentially to say, if microchipping happens, if your medical data, which is now protected by something called HIPAA, which is the organization in America that protects all your medical records, which if you know anyone in the medical industry, they laugh their head off how easy it is to steal people's information still. But essentially, you would live in a cage where you would have to abide by the rules of your government. But because the government would have achieved essentially the singularity of total control over you, the absolute tyranny 2.0, that then, using technology, would not need a Roman army, a Roman legion to enforce, would not need the king's men to enforce. It's simply digitally enforced because all of your money is turned into credits in a computer like some science fiction movie. You have no sovereign coin. You have no sovereign paper. They control you entirely. And if you think that that is crazy, then you haven't thought it through for a split second. They are trying to get us to a cashless society right now. They're doing it in two very manipulative, intelligent ways. For all of you who are into paying for things with your cell phones and some of you with watches, you are aiding and abetting the enemy. You are aiding and abetting the enemy. Now, this wouldn't be a bad thing if our governments weren't totally and completely corrupt in front of our face, right? We can just tell, right? They never do anything for us, right? They never do anything for us. All they're doing is chipping away at the freedoms that our forefathers put together. Even if you're in Europe, right? Hell, Europe and Australia's had to get rid of all their guns. And I guarantee you, with the immigration push from the Middle East, people are rethinking that one. But the second thing that they're doing is demonizing by re-engineering our credit cards and our debit cards. In America, I'm not sure what's going on in Europe. They're not really big on credit cards, I think, in Europe. They're putting chips inside our cards. Now, the idea is supposedly that's better. And everyone's getting new ATM cards, and they're being forced on you. Now, you have merchants, especially big drugstore chains here in America, CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens are all switching over to these chip readers. And it sounds cool, right? Sounds like Star Trek. Sounds like the future's here. But instead of a split second, a fraction of a second swipe of your card through a billing machine that has worked for countless decades, you now have to feed your card into the bottom of these units. And the validation of the card takes 3 to 5 seconds. 3 to 5 seconds to read who you are. They tell you it's more secure, but how could it be more secure? The number of my card is still on the front of my card, so someone who's clever looking over my shoulder, videotaping me or something with their cell phone, unbeknownst to me, could just read right off the card my name, number, and expiration date. Now, they wouldn't have the security code on the back necessarily. I still have to type in my ATM number if I'm using the debit side of my card. So you can just watch that occur. If people run surveillance on registers, cash registers, all that stuff's right in front of your face. If you can even generally understand where each finger went on the keypad, you could just guess a few times and you'd have it, right? So the chip thing is to slow down your cards. It is designed explicitly for one reason and one reason alone, to make you hate your plastic so that you will use your cell phone. It's one of the first assaults on cash. Now, my co-host in the other show would tell you don't use any credit cards at all. Just withdraw, you know, deposit your check, leave enough in there to do your automated billing, and then pull everything out to cash. Store it in a safe or spend it. That's another way of doing it. But again, as I said in the previous episode, they still survey with face recognition capabilities everywhere you go on planet Earth, especially in public places. And so even if you think you're avoiding being tracked, they videotape the register. The register has a time-coded index of everything that's purchased in the register, and they have your face recognition once you walk in the store. So by those two things mixed together, they can always find out where you spent your cash and what you bought and how much you bought for, right? Only like a local merchant who just is going to take cash from you and never give you a receipt and doesn't have cameras in their facility would you ever be able to buy anything without being surveyed, right? Now, we always try to talk about stuff on this show sort of like a slippery slope warning. Now, I want to stress again, if the world wasn't run by corrupt banking cartels, if the world wasn't run by people that are willing to take the rewards from bankers to become politicians, to do everything that the bankers want them to, which AKA means the corporations, which AKA means the military-industrial complex, or the exact sort of people, right? If you're a person in high command who's willing to take a pension, a big paycheck, who's willing to be sold a bunch of false patriotism, despite your own people, despite your constitution, if you're docile and limp-minded, and you're willing to take stories about, well, you know, we got to kill those Arabs because, man, if we don't kill them over there, we're going to have to kill them over here. Right. Open borders, right? Open borders, and you think the killing people 8,000 miles away is going to do anything other than rile up the bee's nest to make them want to come to Mexico, to make them want to cross the border and infiltrate your country. It doesn't, there's no logic in that whatsoever, right? I think what's interesting is that there's not a single existing debate in mass media or in, well, I guess mass media being any magazines, television, radio, that talks about surveillance. It is developing unabated, and we're not talking about it. Again, insurance agencies in foreign countries are forcing their citizens to videotape the dashboards of their car, you know, out the dashboards of their car, right? So there's just, you know, millions and billions of hours being filmed of the entire world. And, you know, sometimes we catch meteorites, which is kind of cool. Sometimes we catch fraud, which is kind of cool, right? So it has its benefits. But it's when it's used against you that it becomes dangerous. Now, I'm going to repeat something that I said in my How They Spy on You, because some of you may not go back that far and because it's on topic. So this is going to be a little repeat. But it's very important when we come to surveillance. For those of you who cop the attitude, or you know family members or friends that cop the attitude, well, I do not break the law, so I do not care if they raid my computer, if they film me everywhere I go. Consequently, you know, I think we're going to loop back on the fact that there's tons of pedophiles and human trafficking that's never caught, right? There's a reason why that's never caught, but I'll try to remember to get to that after this. Patsies are a huge technique for things called false flags in this world. False flags are generally described as government-sponsored terror, where a government attacks itself or creates a crisis attacking the people of its own country in order to force an agenda to advance. What's the big agenda of the bankers of Europe? Get rid of all guns on the face of the planet. This is something that every tyrannical leader in history has always done to its people. And the celebrated histories that brought, the celebrated leaders of our world brought guns back to the people and protected it, right? The heroes of the United States of America were pro-gun to defend ourselves against the tyrannical government. We say that all the time on the show, right? But now they're trying to create crises to get morons to blame guns, as if guns just walk around hurting people by themselves, right? So how do they do these patsies? Well, the official story is that one kid goes crazy. One kid or one person takes a bunch of drugs, you know, prescribed by their doctors, and they go crazy one day and kill people. All right. I'm sure that occurs. I'm sure on occasion that occurs. But I can tell you that the ones that get mass media are more often than not complete orchestrated events. Now, the good news is, in a lot of cases, the people that are said to have been killed aren't killed. In some sad cases, people are sacrificed and killed. We've had completely silly ones that were completely caught within hours of being debuted. Those of you who, and I forget what they call it, but there's the guy that supposedly shot a woman doing a story at a marina. Right, she was interviewing a woman. This young reporter was interviewing an older woman, and supposedly a guy came up who's supposedly a repressed homosexual who had lost his cool, had a gun, and he filmed with a chest camera, supposedly his hand, just like a video game. Right, the gun's right here, and he supposedly walks up to this woman and opens fire on her. The footage was so laughably orchestrated. The guy's hand was a white person, not a black guy. If it was a black guy, it wasn't the black guy that we saw in the mass media, because he was very, very dark gentleman, and the hand was, I think, Caucasian. My phone exploded the day that this event occurred, and everyone who was an official story person, as well as the conspiracy people, were like, this has got to be one of those things you're talking about, because that hand isn't that dude. He also unloaded a Glock into this woman, and yet she was still able to run away. You know, if you're shot by a Glock, you go down like a sack of potatoes. You don't run away in high heels, which is what this woman did. But she's gone now, so someone may have killed her. Or she's a crisis actress, right? She's only on camera for a few seconds, so who knows what her identity was. But they know who she was, right? She was a person that people knew. So I'm thinking that maybe she was taken out as a result of this thing. I know that sounds crazy to some of you. But the one I always like to remind you about is the kid from Colorado, James Holmes, who supposedly was a recluse. He was on drugs to regulate his behavior. He was in a red state. He was a gun owner. He was a male. He had very little contact with his family, very little contact with his friends. And on one night, he went to a Batman premiere. And at some point, he snuck in the back of the theater during the showing of this theater, came out with a gas mask, threw down a gas canister, shot everyone up with shotguns, 308 machine guns, and pistols, and killed supposedly six people in the theater next door, according to one of the eyewitnesses in the theater next door. And then, of course, he goes back to the back door and falls out the back door, so drugged out he can't say his own name. And a special security team, who's still identified to this day, apprehends him and gives him to the local mall cops. And then we have our story. He shows up in court months later with his orange hair, with a woman who's playing his attorney, who also has been in three other crisis acting situations, including Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, and one other one I can't remember. Like positive ID on her face, of course. The public just doesn't pay attention. It's amazing, right? He has been drugged out his whole testimony. Every single time he comes into court, the state has him so sedated he can't talk, because if he did talk, he might say something different about his own existence, right? I think now his brain's probably completely fried. But let me just throw you a scenario in case you didn't hear the other episode. If you wanted to create a crisis which demonized guns, you would need to create a story that would make people want to hate guns or fear guns. Especially if you haven't shot a gun, you fear guns. The second you shoot a gun, just like Sigourney Weaver said when she was filming the movie Aliens, she was a total anti-gun person. She said, man, you know, after a day or two of firing these weapons, you feel amazing. You feel invincible. She goes, that's what I hate about guns. She's now relaxed, and she was categorically the reason why Aliens 3 never sold any tickets, right? Which was a movie without any guns, which was just atrocious. But she means well. I mean, you know, you can get behind what Sigourney Weaver was saying. We don't really want to have a violent society. We really don't want to have guns. We really don't, right? Except for just having fun and maybe hunting. That's really what we want them for. But we know that the reason why we have to keep them as responsible adults is because there are greedy humans out there that'll do anything for money. And the money comes from the bankers that are controlling them, right? They make it from scratch. They can make as much as they want, right? But nothing stops an agency that either might be an official agency of a government, or maybe not belonging to our government at all. Maybe it's a shadow government that works for the bankers, right? They could simply run a database search on human beings that match every single psychological profile attribute that would make a patsy believable. Everything I just told you belongs in a database. You want to find a male. First criteria in the database. Well, that's pretty easy, right? Driver's license alone will give you that. I want to make sure in the red state. Well, driver's license provides that. I want to make sure they own a gun. Well, just look up gun purchases, because everyone has to register their guns. We know who has guns. I want to find someone that doesn't have a lot of connection with someone else, because then there's no alibi of this kind of person. That's a little more complicated, but all we have to do is look at his GPS. We look up the person. We look up associated database, look up for who their parents are, where their parents live, and we find the GPS data to find out they don't make that many trips to their parents' house. We look at cell phone calls, cell phone numbers from two. Well, there's not a lot of phone calls to the parents either. Well, where does the traffic go? Where does the GPS go? Oh, he goes to titty bars. It looks like he has maybe two friends. One of them's a stripper, right? Okay. Now, what is he? We want to make sure he's a little seedy. So let's see, in the eyes of the people, right? So let's see what he spends his money on. He has a lot of ATM withdraws, and then timestamp-wise, he goes from the ATM and he goes into a strip club. So he's a titty bar guy. Oh, that's great. His moral fiber is low in the eyes of Christians, right? Oh, and he buys porn. He buys an unsavory thing called pornographic material. Man, he's right down there in that cesspool of where Christians, your average, well, actually, I don't want to say Christians don't like guns because a lot of them do, but your secular, hipster, whatever, the guy wearing capri pants who's terrified of guns, right? They can construct a database search that finds candidates. Now, we can pull up his photograph through the DMV database, right? Oh. You know, we'll look at some candidates here. Well, this one looks a little goofy. And let's say they come up with, say, six candidates that could pass for this. Again, they want them in rural areas, too. Not just red states, but rural areas, right? Aurora, Colorado, right? Then they put some people on the ground to look at these individuals. Say they're in six different states, but they match all this criteria. Oh, and he's got a prescription for, Adderall or Ritalin. Something that would be nicely blamed in the media. It's getting better and better, right? But they go down on the ground and they look at all six candidates. But this dude in Colorado has orange hair. I mean, jackpot, right? Cherry, cherry, cherry on the one-armed bandit. He is the dude. All right. Now we're going to come up with a fictional story that the people are going to believe, right? Whoever thought this story up had seen the movie Leon, or The Professional. And there's a very key part of this movie, and I hate to ruin this for you, because it's one of the greatest assassination movies on planet Earth. It's actually a French actor who plays an Italian assassin in New York City. And the final act of this movie, he uses a gas mask to conceal who he is. Very interesting, right? So the story is very cleverly put together. They're going to, I think, really murder people. But they could be crisis actors. But we've had a lot of eyewitness testimonies from, I believe, real human beings, including a girl who was in the theater next door, which I'm going to mention to you in a second. So they need to blame this guy, but they can't blame him if he can't do the deed. So they have to figure out a way to hire a real gunman to do this. So they construct this story to say, well, what we're going to do is he's going to walk into the back of the theater wearing a gas mask, stealing it straight out of the movie The Professional. And to justify the mask, he's going to throw down a gas canister, which is sort of ridiculous, right? When you're firing a gun, what's going to happen, right? If anything, it cuts down your visibility because you're already looking at a mask and then you got smoke in front of your own eyes, right? It doesn't make any sense. But it conceals who he is. The guy who's actually being blamed for it's behind the movie theater silver screen, being held in the little room that's behind the silver screen. And he's drugged out of his mind. The professional gunman goes into the theater, and if you think that that's impossible, I'll explain how that's possible very easily. He opens fire on everyone. Now, one of the eyewitness testimonies in the theater was from a soldier who'd been to Iraq in this recent decade, or last couple decades, right? He said whoever was firing these weapons was a pro. He didn't flinch. He went through one gun to the next gun to the next gun. He was firing like crazy, killing a bunch of people. In fact, supposedly the baby got killed, right? He was taken by their parents at a midnight showing because, boy, they just had to see that movie, right? Whatever. So it didn't seem like some average kid. The guy said this dude had training. Well, the kid didn't have any training. But I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, dude, you are absolutely out of your mind that an American would ever shoot a bunch of Americans. Because people have souls. No matter how evil they are, they have souls. Whoever said the guy was American. We are allies with people who I don't want to put a finger on it too much, but let's just say they don't think very highly of Americans, and we're allies with them. All we need is one of their top soldiers. And we say, could you loan us somebody? We need a guy who's really good with guns. He's going to shoot the living crap out of a movie theater. He doesn't have to really pick a target. He can just arbitrarily kill people. Someone who thinks that we're scum, you know, that'll do the job. He's going to be wearing a gas mask, so his race will never be revealed. And they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. Does he mind having his hair dyed orange just in case? No problem, right? So it doesn't have to be an American defector. It could be someone from another country. Just like the drones that we fly over the world, drones can be controlled over America by foreign governments, doing what these shills within our government who serve bankers are telling them to do. If the chain of command even goes that clean. Could be that the drones are being flown by people in Europe with, I don't mean European citizens, but people who would work for the bankers, right? Could be hell, could be the Middle East, could be anywhere in the world, right? Could be in a space station around the world, who knows, right? But this unidentified person shoots everyone, goes in the back, they take the mask off that guy, put it on the kid, who again is so drugged out he can't speak, he can't walk. But he was just so sentient, he could convince a military person that he had the marksmanship of a master and basically nerves of steel, right? And I know you might think, well, crazy people have nerves of steel. And you might be right, but it wasn't this kid. He couldn't stand up. That's what the mall cop said. He couldn't speak when he was booked. That's what they said. These are just average Joes like you and me. So a guy that sedated could not pull off this crime. Well, they push him outside. A group grabs him because it's all arranged, gives him off to this local mall cops. The mall cops are like, I don't even know who these guys were who gave him to us. Thank God they were there. Not thinking twice about what was said, right? Or what happened. Now, a young lady was in the theater next door. And she said they heard a bunch of noise in the theater. And they just thought it was like the movie getting really intense on the other side, right? But she said rounds, I think it was specifically 308 rounds, were coming through the wall and killing people in her theater. Now, that I never heard confirmed, but it was her eyewitness testimony that said that. And she's on HD television, you know, giving this testimony, and I don't think she was ever meant to be interviewed. But she said right after the event occurred, the lights went on in her theater, which the timing of that's pretty amazing, right? If someone whipped out a gun and started killing people, there's not like a bunch of staff members sitting in projection booths going, well, just in case someone kills a bunch of people, flick the lights on so everyone get out okay. But that's what happened. That's not a really a major deal, but what happened next was absolutely unfathomable in a normal scenario. She said that a recording came over the PA and said, there's been a shooting in the theater. There's been a shooting in the theater. It was a recorded message that played at least three times. And it may have said a few other words, but that's the gist of what the message was. And she said right there to the camera that night, she goes, I thought that was really weird that they had a recorded message that said that there was a shooting in the theater. They have that kind of thing on call, right? Oh, hit the big red button that says there's been a shooting in the theater so you can play that recording to everyone. Obviously, this is what we call trauma programming. When everyone's terrified, their minds are wide open for programming. Like I've said in the, I believe I did an episode on trauma journalism. When you experience trauma, your brain constricts blood flow to your right brain, so it's totally shut off, which is your ability to process chaotic data. Your left brain lobe goes down to a minimum amount of blood that actually gets you down to a functional, logical survival standpoint. So if I push a lion in the room with you or a big giant gorilla, looks like he's going to kill you. You go into this exact level of trauma to survive. You're no longer thinking about whether or not your shoes are the coolest shoes on planet Earth or your iPhone has got a full charge. You're thinking about how the hell do I escape this thing? Every object becomes a weapon. Every object becomes a place where you might be able to hide from this thing. When you're at that level, you no longer have the faculties to discern information. Your frontal lobes are off, which means when you don't process, maybe it's true or it's false. It goes all into your subconscious as true. When you calm down and your blood supply returns to your mind, you actually have the faculty of recall. Then when someone says, you were there, weren't you? And you go, yeah. Well, tell me what it was like. Whatever message was programmed into your mind comes back up with the chemical triggers of truth because it has been recorded in your long-term memory as truth, right? You had no ability to discern the information when it goes in the back of your mind. Thus, the real probably murder of all these people, but the circumstances around it go into your brain from the news. Even watching it at home, you can be traumatized watching the television, especially if you live in that area or you're terrified of guns. You're going through that a slightly lesser version of that trauma in your living room or in your car listening to it over the radio. and they're telling you, James Holmes killed these people. James Holmes killed these people. He's got orange hair. He's an introvert. What else did they tell you? They told you that he rigged up his entire apartment with explosives, right? You don't hear this story anymore because it was proved to be absolutely asinine, right? Now, the official story news that I heard, this is through mass media, when they were trying to pump this story out as quickly as possible, they said that he had put a tremendous amount of booby traps and explosives in his house. For what reason, I don't know. He didn't have anything secret in his house. That's what the funny part is. But a commando from the military got a list of everything the mass media had said and the FBI said that was in his house in terms of the booby traps and the explosives. And they said, you know what? This stuff is worth a tremendous amount of money. I won't requote what I heard, but it was a more money than this kid would have ever seen in his entire lifetime. And they said, one, he couldn't get a hold of this stuff, and two, he wouldn't be able to afford it if he could get a hold of it. And there was no reason for it because he didn't have anything of any value in his house anyway. Why anyone thought that story up, I don't know. But they wanted to keep the police out of his house because that allowed them to go in and set it all up or clean it to make sure there's no alibi that would say he wasn't there and he wasn't going to be going there and da-da-da, right? Now, there's people that say he walked in line and he went to this movie theater. I don't know if that's true or not. They said he had a prop shotgun with him, and they thought it was a prop shotgun as part of the movie cosplay of going to this movie theater. I don't know if that's true either. That's just been reported, and that's it. But all that evidence has been sort of washed away. And every single crisis that's fake goes through a stage of a bunch of trauma programming, and then they walk away from the story, so you're not supposed to hear it anymore. Around the exact same time, we have the Fort Hood shooting. We have a mosque in, I think, Wisconsin, or sorry, a Christian church in Wisconsin had supposedly an Arab goes in and shoots a place up. Everyone there said there were six gunmen, and most of them escaped out the front while this guy was shot, I think, inside the place or just outside the place, but it was blamed on one Arab guy. You don't get those kind of stories anymore because everyone Arab's supposed to be... anyone who's not white who shoots is not reported. It's a weird thing, right? We had the Boston bombing, and then we had Sandy Hook. We also had some shootings in Seattle and that kind of stuff, right? Surveillance, unchecked, provides an infinite supply of patsies. But just very simple database lookups, people. So let's just say you have a family, you've got a husband or a wife, you've got kids, you've got relatives, and you stay well connected with your community. Chances are you're not going to be a patsy if that's how connected you are, which is probably a great reason to get out of Facebook and go actually talk to people. You know, expand your circle, make phone calls to your family, make sure your life is digitally recorded and backed up by other people's digital devices to prove this person who's you was never at these locations, has a habit of not being in these locations, doesn't have any, don't take Adderall, don't take any type of drug to keep yourself, you know, mentally dealing with life. Just try to deal with life. I know it's sometimes easier said than done. But what if you just happen to be unable to do that? You have no relatives. You may be a little awkward, maybe because you're really smart, maybe because you're really creative, maybe just you prefer it that way. My caution to you is you might be making yourself fodder to be a patsy, increasing your qualifications in a database search to be blamed for something. You think this kid had anything to do with planning to kill a bunch of people? He didn't even have a background of being a sociopath. I mean, yeah, he didn't have a lot of friends and stuff, but I think he's probably pretty happy. They didn't have a single twist in his life that said, okay, he was dating a stripper, and the stripper rejected him because he was a nerd. That would have been an interesting twist to the story. Nah, he was totally swimming in it, swimming in all these women, whether or not he paid for them or not. Well, you know, believe me, the human body doesn't care once you orgasm, right? You stay satiated and calm. But we're supposed to believe this guy just hit the peak in his life and had to kill a bunch of people for some ridiculous reason, right? So that's that story. That's how surveillance can be very dangerous for you. But now let's talk about pedophiles and child or human trafficking, which often includes children, right? A lot of women too. Isn't it weird they're not caught? Isn't it weird they're not caught? You know, when a celebrity's cell phone gets stolen, in seconds they find exactly who did it. When a kid puts a bandana on his face and makes a video on YouTube threatening to kill Donald Trump and his whole family, 24 hours, they had him apprehended easily. And because they hate Donald Trump, they're going to let the kid go, right? When a kid jumps a barrier and runs at Donald Trump at a protest. He was protesting, but at a rally. Man, he's celebrated on TV the next day. Right? Okay. So with all this stuff being surveyed everywhere, which they admit, when they can catch anyone on planet Earth doing anything within seconds, how could a pedophile ring ever exist? How could child porn websites ever exist? How could an email ever be transmitted that couldn't be caught in 2 seconds? Because believe me, there's no encryption that these guys can do. Because it goes like this. If you encrypt something so much that the NSA can't immediately decrypt it, they're going to come after you right away. They're going to literally look at the packet and go, whoa, this is super duper encrypted. Put the Secret Service, put the FBI right on their doorstep right now. It's going to be just like a Tom Clancy novel, how fast they're going to pick you up to make sure you're not doing government secrets, planning a coup, anything. So there's no way in hell any of this stuff could ever be hidden on any local server. Because even if you're logging into these, because what they tell you is that there's these pedophile rings where they have their own local servers, and you dial up and you start transmitting this stuff, maybe using old modems or something, right? Which I can't imagine happening. But that data is grabbed no matter what. And I'm willing to bet that out of a ring of 25 people, there's one guy who's just talking it up with the real words, you know, in case they're using code words or something like that. You know, our surveillance groups are smart. They know keywords. They know where NAMBLA is every single day of the year, the Man-Boy Touching Association. So if you think the surveillance is somehow protecting you, I want you to think about the fact that if your kid has ever been kidnapped or someone you know has been kidnapped, you know, these celebrities that get busted, get little swats on the hand. They also use, I do believe they do use this as a threatening mechanism against some people. There was a famous actor who I will not name who was put up on child porn charges. And when he actually had to go into court and all the evidence was brought into court, essentially what they were saying was that his medieval paintings of children who were naked, cherubs and that kind of thing, I think it's the name of it, but that was child porn because it was naked babies. Well, that's just old art, right? He didn't have any hard drives full of kiddie pics. But for whatever reason, he wasn't playing ball and he got stung and then he got released, right? But there are pedophiles out there and they're not caught. There should be more pedophiles being caught than drug dealers being caught, because drug dealing is a physical thing. You actually just smuggle a shipment over a border and there's no email trail to the whole thing, right? So border control doesn't catch them, or border patrol doesn't catch them. Well, then you don't catch them. There's no trail. But anything that's electronic has a trail. So if you're pro surveillance, then I think you should ask the question as to why this stuff still exists, how this could exist. But like I've said several times, and this is not me originating this theory, if you're into that sort of thing, then you're also into being hired into the organizations that control the laws. You're into the organizations that control the catching of these individuals, and therefore you don't catch yourself. So I wanted to make this episode very specifically to heighten the conversation so that when you get into these conversations with other people, you're able to retort with a slightly more in-depth perception of what surveillance really means. Again, if the world was a peaceful place, obviously we wouldn't need any surveillance at all. But because there are corrupt individuals who are screwed up in the mind, the public place surveillance has a super duper value to us. The internet is a public place. as much as you might say, I deserve sovereignty online. Again, if you use a free email service, then you're essentially using a free email service, and they have the right to look inside your emails. They might have a privacy policy that says they don't look in your stuff, but they do have the right to look in their on their own servers. They do. You might sign a contract that says you're not allowed to, but I don't think any of us sign a contract with free email services. We simply agree to a privacy policy when we set up an account. But if you buy a domain that's yours, or lease it, I guess, is the way we buy those things, and you buy or lease services from internet service providers, say perhaps GoDaddy, and you host your own server, and you host your own email on that server, then you can say, I am purchasing sovereignty on that server. I would like you not to look in my stuff because it's my own sovereign property. We know it doesn't work that way, does it? Because once it's transmitted over a wire, there's a copy made. This cloud thing. A lot of you are terrified of the cloud, but when I hear people, and I'm glad that people are concerned about the cloud because it is all of this, what I'm telling you, right? The weird one is that your local computer inside your house should be absolutely protected by law from the Fourth Amendment, right? It's your own sovereign data. Now, if you sign up to Dropbox, you sign up to Google Drive, and you start uploading stuff, well, then you're using one of those services, and they have the right, technically speaking, to look at your stuff. So anything you put on the cloud becomes public property to that private for-profit corporation that has that data. Now, if the government of the United States would start a cloud and say, this is a sovereign place, it is your right as a citizen to have your data here and not have it looked at, and it's protected by the Constitution of the United States, then we'd have a new service that might be interesting, right? But your hard drive is probably the only remnant of sovereignty you have in the digital world. If you don't transmit it over the internet at any point in time, you know, your local network inside your house is not public. So you can send it between computers and you should be okay unless you use an internet backbone to do it. But if you use your local router peer-to-peer, that's your own sovereign transmission. But they're trying to get rid of hard drives, aren't they? They're trying to make computers with so little hard drive space that you end up using the cloud just to survive. This is the mechanism by which your concerns should present themselves. Your concern should think about this. To close this thing off, I want to remind you of something I've said a million years ago, but this is the perfect time to say it again, because I think I've only said it once in 100 episodes. If we ever get the chance to reset the world, to reset the rights of citizens based on the beautiful Magna Carta, which is over 1,000 years old, people, which was reconstituted as the Constitution of the United States for Americans, right? We have to know where the finish line is for sovereignty. We have to know what it means to win the revolution. Because if we ever do start a revolution, those that control the world will create artificial finish lines. And they'll say, you've won. You've won the revolution. They'll even put shills in like Boris Yeltsin to walk around with a bullhorn on top of a car to tell you that you've won. And all that means is that the progress towards sovereignty, the progress towards common law ends if you accept it, that it's ended. So these sort of conversations about all these changes that we want to have, changes to our money, changes to our protection, changes to our right to bear arms, to protect ourselves against these factions, the right to have freedom of speech, to make sure that if someone is trying to police us with political correctness, we have to know what has to change. And that we do not settle until all these things change. There's no negotiating common law, right? You don't go to a banker. Because as soon as Magna Carta passed, I think it's King John or whatever, immediately started trying to undermine it. And he even went to the people and said, okay, you want me to reduce taxes on you, which has nothing to do with Magna Carta. If you let me tax you a little bit, or sorry, if you let me erode your Magna Carta, I'll reduce taxes. He literally bought people off, and they were like, okay. We get rid of a little bit of freedom to get a little less taxes. Then, of course, the taxes eventually go back up. That's what's going to happen to our freedoms if we just bend over and say, oh, well, we got pretty good. It's all or nothing, people. That's the finish line. That's the definition of a finish line. But what is all? It's complete and utter sovereignty. No one gets to kill us. No one gets to steal our stuff. Man is considered equal. Whether or not man achieves equality between each other, right? Someone might get a PhD and be some 6'5" monster. He is considered equal to a 4'8" woman with a general education, because she has the right to gain the education and become equal in a different way. That's how we have to run this game. Even if in her whole life she never gets to that level of equality, quote unquote, as per man's definitions with this other guy. We have to set up a bedrock, a foundation. I always say bedrock, a bedrock, a foundation that ensures that possibility, right? I think you feel me. So that's surveillance in a fairly large walnut, right? If you haven't been already, go to mkultureradio.com for all the feeds. If you're on video, you can go to audio. If you're on audio, you can go to video. That's all you need to know. If you dig the Facebook exchange, we have two Facebook pages, one for the primary show, MKUltra Radio, which is a lot more political and, I would say, acidic. Then we have the Facebook page for this feed. And again, if you're on YouTube and you dig this, please subscribe, because you'll get notifications that new episodes come out. If you like this particular video, please give me a thumbs up. It just helps people find it. If you have other thoughts on this, please do leave comments, because, again, we've got a few of you out there that are commenting like crazy, and it's just adding so much dimension to the conversation. As a matter of fact, one of our commenters, I think his name is State Laughter or something like that, he is summarizing these episodes in beautiful paragraphs that if you're wondering what the episode's about, you can kind of read his paragraphs and go, oh, that's what this is about. And if that appeals to you, then get into the video and you can see it. But I would encourage you, obviously, to see the videos or listen to them, because that helps you develop your own opinions about this kind of thing. I think that's it. Hope you're having a good day. It's going to be really warm here today. It's early, early morning. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.